Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Well, hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. Please belly up to the bar. Let's have a little chat about the Senior Bowl today. I am not there, unfortunately. And I watched all the coverage on NFL Network. I think I had 4 or 5 hours of it. I've done a lot of reading on the first day, including the weigh-ins before that. Talked to a couple people as well, so I'm just going to give you some observations. I'm going to keep Wednesday's draft oriented, and this is one of the biggest draft things of the year. So, without further ado, let's talk Senior Bowl. Few things, you know, just I'll kind of give you an overview of what goes on down there. And obviously, the year I spent with the Browns, I was down there, and I think three other. My first years at ESPN, I joined Todd McShay and his crew, and we would write scouting reports from down there and all those things. It's a blast, and the weather is phenomenal. It's not always phenomenal. Sometimes it's freezing and windy. Just depends if you're lucky or not, but it's in Mobile, Alabama, if you don't know. So it's always a happy time. You're always going to somewhere warmer, basically, even if the weather is rough, and it's a good time there for sure. Everyone who's everyone except for me is there. Boo-hoo. But I will get there next year. I'm going to make a plan. It always seems to sneak up on me, and I really don't have a wonderful reason to go. I do so much NFL work, but I do need to get down there just because it is fun and to meet more people and all the people I talk to on Twitter, see them, you know, in the restaurants and the bars, and that part of it's a blast, too. I mean, there's a lot of hangouts, a lot of great food, Southern hospitality, bars, nightlife, a lot of free time for NFL people, draft people to all mingle. So that's good stuff. The Combine's similar, but this to me is more social. I might be going to the Combine, by the way. I will keep you in the loop on that, of course. But you know, there's two practices a day. There's a North and there's a South. And always two of the teams picking high are always the coaches of it. So the Browns with the first overall pick, they are coaching the South, and the Bears are coaching the North. From what I gathered and what I read, and I think this is pretty accurate, they pretty much showed the entire South practice, and there was a lot to take away from that. But John Fox with the North made this more of a teaching day. You know, first of all, weigh-ins were yesterday, and we'll talk about a couple guys that stood out, or 2 days ago. Today's Wednesday. Monday was the weigh-in. Tuesday was the first day of practice, although they're not padded. They're just shells on Tuesday. So that's helmet, shoulder pads, shorts. You know, there's not much hitting. Wednesday and Thursday will be padded practices, today and tomorrow. And then basically, Friday's a walkthrough, and this might sound crazy to you, but basically everyone, all the scouts, media, coaches, majority of them leave Mobile on Friday. They get a plane back. Like, if you're in the airport, in the Mobile airport on Friday, you'll see every coach in the world. Nobody sticks around for the game, basically because there's more work to be done at home Wednesday, Saturday, or even get back with your families. And then everyone gets the tape of the game, you know, so that the game isn't the event. I mean, the practices are what most people are there to see and analyze and write up. And then of course everyone watches the game, but they usually just probably watch the coach's tape at home in their office. But anyways, yesterday I mentioned that Fox, the Bears coach, John Fox, treated the North practice much more like a teaching session. You know, it was slow and there wasn't all that much to take away from it compared to the South, which is understandable. The scouts don't love that. You know, it's more fun to watch one-on-ones and linemen versus linemen and receivers versus corners and things like that. But there's also, you know, the first time these guys are playing football together, there is some coaching to do. There's some timing to get together. Some things that aren't as much fun to watch. And Fox took a more conservative approach, obviously. But this is a big deal for the kids, though. I mean, just like the combine, just like anytime you're around these prospective employers, this is a job interview 24/7, you know, all the time. Then it's a huge advantage to me. You know, like Dallas coached Dak Prescott last year, and they knew him better than anyone. They're in the film room with him. I think it's a huge advantage for these coaching staffs to have their hands on these kids, you know, behind the scenes, eat lunch with them, that kind of stuff too. But it's a constant job interview, and these kids have been coached up by their agents and people to coach them up for these things and realize that every eyeball is on them all the time. There is no free time or behind the scenes that they can get away with things or that kind of stuff. And it's very true at the combine. I mean, they're herded around like cattle. I actually did that at the combine where I was one of the first early scouts to get there, and I had to take this group from here to there and that kind of stuff. Man, I mean, it's much more of a strain than you would think. They don't get much sleep. But anyways, a couple things. A lot of these guys, you know, particularly running backs, star defensive players, tight ends, they've never played special teams. So there is going to be special teams in the game, and they do practice special teams. So this is a good opportunity for some of those guys to raise their hand. Hey, I'll be a returner. Hey, I'll be a gunner. Never tried it before, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. But obviously that's huge. I mean, especially if you're not a first-round guy, if you're a round 4 through 7 type of prospect, you're going to have to play teams at the next level. And a lot of times this is the first time some of these guys have played legitimate special teams. You know, I'm going to be a personal protector on punt. And when they assemble these teams, they don't bring in core special teamers. They bring in kickers and punters and things, but they don't bring in, okay, you're a gunner. No, you're a corner or a wide receiver, and you better learn how to be a gunner in 3 days. You got to learn a lot in 3 days. I mean, so people expect some sloppiness, you know, timing between receivers and quarterbacks, and even center quarterback exchange. I mean, those things are going to be sloppy. People are going to jump off sides. I mean, but a huge key is the willingness, the dedication to try new things, to get better, to take coaching, to improve. You know, that, you know, we might talk about some guys that had a rough Tuesday, but it happens every year. It's like, boy, but this kid got better throughout the week. That's huge. I mean, that taking to new coaches with new people around them in a 3-day period can improve. I mean, that goes a really, really long way. And in a lot of cases, anyone that's there, this is the last opportunity for scouts and talent evaluators to look at these guys playing football, you know, with pads on, their pro day, combine, interviews. I mean, they're not playing football. They may be up on the board talking about football, all those things, but they're not playing football. They're not blocking a defensive tackle. You know, they're not running a route. They're not throwing the football, you know, in a game situation with a live pass rush. And unfortunately, people do get injured too. And some things I just kind of scan over the positions a little. Quarterbacks, you always want to see them live. You always want to see them get better. Or do they lead this new group of teammates? That's important. Obviously, behind the scenes, you can get a lot from them. Running backs, to me, are a tough eval in practice because they're not breaking tackles. But the receiving aspect of playing running back is so much more important now than even when I was down there. That's big. You know, one-on-one drills in protection. Protection is huge for them in this because a lot of these guys haven't protected all that much either at the running back position because they're stars. I mean, they're carrying the ball. So protection is big. You know, they'll do a lot of backs-on-backer, one-on-one protection drills, which is really hard. I mean, and just to talk about one-on-one, you see a lot of one-on-one drills, period, at the Senior Bowl. Receivers versus corners, offensive linemen versus defensive linemen, edge pass rushers versus tackles, you know, backs on backers, like I said. And that's a great way to see kids, but it's also not real life either. You know, that defensive linemen have a distinct advantage over an offensive lineman one-on-one. Wide receivers have a distinct advantage over a corner one-on-one, you know, with no safety help, no linebacker help, no pass rush. And backers have a distinct advantage over a running back who's just standing there and trying to do his best to get in the way. But there is a lot to gain from all these positions, you know. And a thing that I kind of bit on and learned the hard way was, I remember I was down there, and Sonoris Moss, you know, Santana Moss's brother, super fast, smaller guy. I mean, he lit it up all week. And, you know, I was a young scout, and everyone was enamored with him. Like, wow, I didn't think this guy was as good as he is. And you realize, I mean, someone like that really benefited from the environment of, you know, 7-on-7 type of stuff. And no tackling. And they're not banging you as much at the line of scrimmage. Your safety's not taking your head off after you catch the ball. So, you know, but they're still playing football. You know, there's still an awful lot to like. I really like the, even though it does favor the defense, I really like watching the pit, the big men, battle it out one-on-one, you know, in pass rush drills, those type of things. I think that's great. You can really see how well they use their hands, how they decipher from their peers, you know, that, boy, I'm better than the guy next to me, you know. I have a lot going for you. So there's a lot to take away from this. I mean, there are some things like linebackers to me are almost like running backs, where it's kind of hard to judge them as run players, or, you know, but you can see them in one-on-one drills, but they're at this distinct disadvantage. But it's great stuff. Let's talk a few more, you know, two more sections. I just want to give you kind of an overview of the Senior Bowl as a whole, and I'll probably have some other ideas that dawn on me. Again, I'm jealous I'm not there. And then I want to talk a little bit about the weigh-in and a couple guys that stood out in the first day of practice. So we'll kind of break this down into three sections. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
So, the weigh-in. This is basically the first event that happens. And I would imagine most of you know how this goes, but I'll tell you briefly anyways. These dudes come out basically just wearing their underwear in front of a whole room full of scouts. And they are measured, you know, height, weight, hand size, arm length, you know, but a huge key, you know, to quote Billy Beane, we're not selling underwear here. We're not selling jeans here, you know, so people can get too enamored with, boy, look how great he looks, you know, we got to get that guy, you know, and it is pretty overwhelming at times. These dudes are supreme athletes that aren't like you and me. You know, they come walking on the stage and it's like, wow, that dude is impressive looking. But there's a lot to take from it, too. I mean, of course, you get the numbers, and they're official numbers. And there's already been scouts in there. You know, Blesto or National came in, but people's body changes. That was, you know, almost a year ago. You certainly can't trust the programs, you know, that you go to the Oklahoma-Nebraska game, and this guy's listed at 6'2", 300 pounds. Well, that's probably wrong. You know, they're probably very wrong. So you get official numbers. So there's guys that, you know, you've watched on tape or you've seen that you think, I think he's 6'1"-ish, and then he comes in, he's like, oh, he's 6'1.5", you know, and that's a big deal. I mean, it doesn't sound like it, but it's a big deal. And, you know, you get the weight, like I said, you get the arm length, you get hand size. You also get a really good feel for their body structure, you know, that, you know, do you have the ability, you look at this guy and say, boy, our strength coach can put 10 more pounds of muscle on that guy. He's got the frame to hold it. Or is he maxed out? Or, of course, you want to see guys that are rocked up and they look better. But again, we're not selling jeans here. But it also indicates that you don't get that body by accident. You know, some of these dudes walk in with cut, physical, impressive physiques. They've obviously spent a lot of time in the weight room. And they're just not doing the bare minimum there in getting out. And there's some fat dudes, too. I mean, there's some sloppy-looking fat dudes with man boobs. And, you know, that doesn't mean they can't play the game. But it makes you take a second thought and say, you know, how hard has he been working? And some of these guys just can't keep the weight off, you know, and they use it to their advantage on the field. But, or you look at him and say, maybe I can cut 10 pounds off that guy. You know what I mean? Like Le'Veon Bell, remember he came out, he was like 240, and the Steelers cut weight on him, and he became a lot more shifty. And, you know, the weigh-ins go a long way with that. And in case you're reading weigh-in numbers, and they have them at SeniorBowl.com, and I have them here in front of me. Just in case you don't know how this works, the height is not 6'2". You know, it's not 6'2 and a half. It is, the first number is the feet, you know, 5 or 6. Nobody's 7. Nobody's 4. So, for example, I am, and we used to do this when I was a young scout. We would, you know, measure each other to make sure that we were dead on down to the 1/8 of an inch, or practice, you know, because you put your heels together up against the wall, stand as tall as you can. And if you want to look as tall as you can, but you want to make sure guys aren't, you know, peeking or, you know, pulling their heels a little off the ground or any of those things. But anyways, I always thought I was a little over 6'3". And then when you measure yourself officially with the ruler, I was 6'027". And you're like, well, what the heck's that? 6 feet. The 0 would only imply if, you know, if by chance you were like 5'11", it would be 5'11", and then a number between 1 and 8. So 6027 is 6'2" and 7/8". That makes sense? 6026 is 6'2", 6/8". You know, they don't, or 6024 is 6'2½", but it's 6'2" and 4/8". So whenever you see these crazy numbers when in height and weights of these guys, that's how they do it. So if you're 5'10½", you're really 5'104". Got it? I think you can figure that out. But anyways, so you get those official numbers, you get those body types. A couple guys that kind of stood out from what I understand and just looking at the numbers. This giant Calais Campbell-looking defensive end from Villanova has stolen the show in that regard. And many have said that he is about the most impressive guy they've seen, quote, on the hoof, which is like, you know, just in street clothes, see him in person, up on the stage. And I'll probably butcher his name. And a lot of these guys I'm just learning for the first time, so bear with me. Tano Kpassagnon. And in a day or two, I'll say it right, but right now I won't. Capacion, something along those lines. Highly, highly impressive in terms of just what he looked like walking out there. Tall, long arms, exactly what you're looking for from a physical standpoint. I mean, so just to give you his numbers, he is 6'0", 6'7", which means he's 1/8 of an inch away from being 6'7", exactly, 280 pounds, and by all accounts, handles that very, very well, could tack on more, looks very natural on him. His hand is 10 7/8". That's gigantic, you know, I mean, just think about that. That's your end of your pinky to end of your thumb is basically about 11 inches for this dude. I was told Julius Peppers has over 12 inches, that he can pick up a ruler. He can palm a ruler. Just think about that. I mean, that's insane. But anyways, his arm length are almost 35 inches as well. 34 inches and 7/8". Huge arm, you know, huge wingspan, big hands, everything you're looking for physically. And he looked good in the practices too. So he's going to be a guy that is buzzing like crazy. The biggest dude there is Lincoln Kennedy's son. His name is Zach Banner. Remember Lincoln Kennedy? He's a giant person too. This Banner character is a offensive tackle from USC. 6'8" 3", 361 pounds. His hand is 10 3/4", huge. Pretty long arms too, about 33 1/2 inches. But huge human being. I mean, well over 6'8", 361 pounds. Okay, I mean, giant person. He makes those big people. Sometimes you stand next to those dudes or you watch all the offensive linemen and there's a dude that makes the other big guys look small. And that's Zach Banner. So a couple other ones of note. Tre'Davious White, corner from LSU. Not that he supposedly was really, really rocked up and looks the part, thick, well-defined, loves the weight room. Jordan Lewis, my buddy AJ is a huge, this dude's from Michigan, he's a huge Michigan fan, went to Michigan, and he's told me many times, he's like, Matt, Jordan Lewis is going to be a better pro than Jabril Peppers. This dude's a stud corner. The big worry on Lewis, and the reason I bring him up, is a lot of people thought he was in like the 5'9", 170-pound range. And he certainly isn't little, isn't, you know, big, but he's 5'10 exactly, which that sounds dumb, but, and it's just human nature. I mean, if you're 5'0", 9'7", as opposed to 5'1", 0'0", it's an eighth of an inch difference, but it feels like, boy, he's 5'10". He's not little, you know, I mean, or, man, he's just a little over 5'9". It's stupid, but it's just common. It's just, you see that 9 there, and it makes you think they're small. 188 pounds, which is much better than expected. You know, it's not like he's a fat dude. Real small hands, though. That's a worry, but he's a corner. You know, I mean, I don't think that that's that big of a deal. Another guy who people like a lot is Cam Sutton. Another cornerback, really short arms, though, and that's a big deal, and I bring that up, you know, in a timely manner here, and I'm writing an article about it, too. That's a big Seahawk thing, and now it's a big Falcon thing. You look at Jalen Collins, Richard Sherman, I mean, all the corners for that scheme, a big, big thing that they want from their corners are long-arm guys. I mean, doesn't seem like that big a deal. I mean, 2 or 3 inches in your arm length, wouldn't think it'd make that big a difference. But when you're guarding Julio Jones on Sunday afternoon, it makes that big a difference in terms of fighting in tight quarters to go up and get the football, jamming at the line of scrimmage, you know, with all that length, that goes a really long way. So that's something to keep an eye on, too. I mean, you think about having long arms for, you know, offensive linemen and defensive linemen, but it's big with corners, too, and it's becoming more and more prevalent with how these teams scout for corners as well.
Napa Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right, the last portion of today's show are some standout players. The North didn't have as many, and just like I said, just the way they structured practice, NFL Network's coverage of it wasn't as strong, but I have done some reading up on these guys. Nathan Peterman, favorite of mine from Pitt quarterback, seemed like he was their best of the group, and he looks like a quality backup to me. I mean, good timing, highly accurate, good body type. He, you know, people were worried he was a little on the short side. He came in over 6'2", so that alleviated some concerns about him. Not a good group of quarterbacks down there in general, especially with the North. He looks like the best of that group if he can sustain that, and maybe he ends up as a third rounder, fourth rounder, Brian Hoyer type, you know, something like that. That's not the biggest arm in the world. Dan Feeney is a guard from Indiana and in contention to be the best guard in this draft. First round type. You know, if you're going to use a first round pick on a guard, you know, he better be Zach Martin, David DeCastro, you know, I mean, guys that are high quality plug and play. Very few weaknesses, and Feeney looks like that type, and was very impressive, supposedly at the weigh-ins as well, a little bit short arm, but thick, strong body, handled pass rush well, stout, powerful at the point of attack. That's a name to know as a potential first-rounder, probably has a chance to be one of the most highly drafted players at this event. A little-known name, that a guy I didn't know that I've heard really good things about, is Taylor Moton, M-O-T-O-N, from, he's an offensive tackle from Western Michigan. And, you know, we know that there's going to be a shortage of these guys. He has exactly what you look for in a body type, 6'0", 5'3", almost 6'5.5", 330 pounds, big hands, long arms, powerful player. Guys like this, it means a lot. Come from Western Michigan and play against dudes from Bama and Notre Dame and whatever. And he apparently passed that with flying colors in day one. He's somebody to really look at. Another guy from the North is Jaleel Johnson, a defensive tackle from Iowa. I didn't know a lot about him either, but he is getting a lot of buzz right now. Almost 6'3", 309 pounds, sort of a nose tackle body type, not huge hands, okay arm length, but powerful, low, good leverage player with some burst for sure. I'm excited to watch more of him and find out more about him. The South had a few more standouts. Their quarterback, Josh Dobbs from Tennessee, looks like the best quarterback on their staff. Really impressive. I didn't realize his off-the-field story, but really, really intelligent. They interviewed him a few times in the coverage. When he's done playing football, he's going to design airplanes. And this guy's got, like, degree after degree, and he's super bright. Throws the football well, good body. So he's somebody to look at, too. I mean, maybe he's a lifetime backup, but Josh Dobbs is a quality player. The player that consensus stole the show and I think will be the highest drafted member of the Senior Bowl is O.J. Howard, the tight end from Bama. Many consider him one of the best blocking tight ends in the draft, and this is a really good draft class. He had a couple one-handed catches, fluid, athletic, looks better than anybody out there. Really good size, comes from a big-time program. Production's not off the chart, but you know, he was competing with, you know, a lot of different dudes at Bama for touches and, you know, became a really good blocker. I had heard going into this that, yeah, he's got a chance to be a first-round pick. He looks like a lock as a first-round pick to me. I mean, I can't believe there's 32 players in this draft I'd rather have than O.J. Howard. I mean, this guy's legit. He looks more, I mean, if Eric Ebron's the ninth pick in the draft, and Ebron's a pretty good prospect, Howard's in that neighborhood for me. I mean, I'm just telling you now, as the buzz comes, you know, as the buzz keeps up, you're going to hear Howard going in the top 15 or so. So if you're the Patriots at 31 or 32 saying, oh, that'd be great to get O.J. Howard, I don't think that's going to happen. Looked like a really good group of defensive backs from the South. We'll investigate that a little further, too, as we learn. I mentioned White, you know, with LSU. He's one of them. Athletic group. I mean, it was pretty impressive. Another guy to mention, too, is a linebacker, Alexander Azzalone from Florida. He stood out in a big way. Highly athletic, explosive movement. I guess he's had some injuries at Florida, so there's not as much tape on him, and there's some questions with that. And I'm sure team doctors at the combine will pike, you know, prod him and figure out, you know, what all's went wrong with him and if that's an issue or not. But he looked like the real deal, and I would imagine he'll be a big-time contributor on game day in the Senior Bowl. But keep an eye on him. I think he's got a chance to be really good. And then there was one name I wanted to bring up at the weigh-ins portion, who I'd never heard of. He's from UConn. He goes by Obi. His first name's Henry. Melifonwu. Melifonwu. No, W-U. Yeah, Henry Monofalu. Okay. Here's what's interesting about him. He's listed as a safety, but he's 6'4 even. You don't see many safeties that are over 6'2. I mean, it's just too hard to change direction, flip your hips in space, things like that. He's 219 pounds. He has pretty small hands, but he's got rather long arms. And there's just a lot of talk of this guy is a good player, but what do you do with him? You know, is he going to be a Will linebacker? Could he be Deion Jones like we're seeing from Atlanta? You know, does he put on 10 pounds, keep speed, and has that same length and is a run and hit type of guy? Maybe. Is he an in-the-box safety? Is he a nickel linebacker? Is he a core special teamer and that's it? Can he not change directions? So he's just an interesting body type guy I wanted to bring back up that I skipped over by accident. So that's a wrap. I'm not at the Senior Bowl, but I think I'm filling you in pretty well. From weigh-ins and day one of the practice, we got two more practices and a game. A lot more will happen. There's a lot of good coverage out there, and we will be all ears. So take care. Over and out.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.